version, and that way if you can just follow along, if I miss a word, y'all will get it. The 12th chapter of Mark, and I guess the title of the message would probably come, and I'll just go ahead and get that over with, the 34th verse, and it says, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And, you know, I thought, man, that's getting pretty close. I'm going to jump over into the 5th chapter of Matthew and read one verse. And he said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And we know there without a doubt that Jesus had went up on the mount, and this was through the Beatitudes, and they were up high on the mountain. And he said, a city that's set on a hill, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And we are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. And I thought about as Christians, how dark we are. Is there any, I wonder, that our nation's in the shape that it's in? And a fellow talked to me this week, maybe last week, I forgot for sure there, but he said he would like to think that maybe there was a fraud in the election. He'd hate to think that America was in the shape, enough a people that was in the shape, amen, to vote what we've got into the White House. And I'm kind of like him. I hope there was some foul play if he's going to be in the White House. I'd hate to think that America is in that bad of shape. But if we are the light of the world, is it any wonder that they're coming out of the closet? Is it any wonder that sin is raging like it is? We'll go to the 13th verse of the 12th chapter of Mark there and try to read maybe right on down through the 34th verse. And it said, "And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words." And that, my friend, today, that was Jesus. They sent these Herodians and they sent these Pharisees to see if they could trip Jesus up and to see if they could shut him down. And I thought that same old spirit is still around today after 2,000 years. That same old spirit is out there to trip up the preacher or to trip up, amen. And we've got so liberal today that we've changed the word around and played with the word of God. And I'm going to tell you, blood is still the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and that don't change. We can change it, we can liberalize it, we can fix it to suit ourselves, glory to God. And they can send Pharisees, and they can send Herodians to us, but glory to God, the word is still the same. And he said, "And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true." So I see they played right into him, said, "We know that you are true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. It is lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not." So they come trying to trip him up, and they said there, "We know what they were saying is you're not a respecter of person, and you won't do more for Sonny than you do for Jamie. You wouldn't do no more for a Pharisee that had a lot of money than you would for a Gentile that was out there laying in the ditch." And they said, "You're true. We know that you've got all of this, but would you tell us something?" Said, "This money, Caesar there, this man, Caesar, what about this man, Caesar?" And still today, neighbor, there's trying to trip up the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're trying to make mockery of it. There's some things that the Word of God says distinctly, amen, that they can't write it out, they can't change it out. There ain't nothing they can do about it. They can add their opinion. They can add what everybody else thinks, but the Word of God will stand true. And these Pharisees and these Herodians knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was true, but they were trying to still find just a little loophole. And I thought about today, honey, glory to God, they're trying to find a little loophole in the Word of God to justify sin. Amen. There's no justification. justification for sin except bring it under Jesus Christ and turn our life completely over to the Lord. There's no justification in sin today or changing the Word of God to suit what fits us today. And I thought about we're just like a bunch of cannibals, amen. There in the White House to tear down everything that goes on, to tear down every law that's been made, to stand up for things that God said is abomination in the eyes of God, things that the Word of God said we can't do. And I thought about one of the simple things that's happening in America today is fornication and adultery, and not just the marriage adultery, but how we've committed adultery on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We are the bride of Christ. Amen. We got a white robe of salvation. And he told us that he give us the Holy Ghost, which is the power of God. And it shows us and teaches us. And we know, amen, when we're in sin, and we know when it's wrong. Glory to God. And still we as the bride of Christ slip around and try to change the Word of God. Try to pull something over on Jesus, or try to pull something over on the church and try to get away with something. Amen. Am I telling us the truth today, honey? Glory to God. We're just like little children. If we can't get the cookie by asking and being nice about it, we'll slip around and get the cookie. We as Christians are the same way. We'll catch ourselves. I catch myself trying to work around the Word of God, honey. And I'm no different than nobody else. I'm no different than these Pharisees, except for Jesus Christ. I know the Word of God. I know what's said, and I've read the Word of God. So I know when I start slipping that way, and how easy it is to lay on the couch, how easy it is to watch TV, whether you're really getting TV or not, how easy it is to lay there and watch TV. I talked to a lady today there at the trash place, and I thought about, she said, how I enjoy just going and sitting in the comfort of my car, amen, and still hear the preaching. I said, you know, I thought about just giving up pastoring and go sit in the comfort of my car, amen, and see how it goes. Can I tell you something? How we want to satisfy and comfort the flesh. How we want to sit back and have it our way. But we don't want to step out and do anything for the glory of God. I read it in the 5th chapter of Matthew, and it said, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set upon a hill can't be hid. Glory be unto God. Is there any wonder that our light has gone out? Is there any wonder the churches are not on fire today? And I talked to some Primitive Baptists today, and I've talked to a couple, amen, that was raised Primitive Baptists today, and their churches is falling apart. Their pastors is getting old, and there's nobody coming along to fill in the spots. I'm going to tell you, that's coming to us, neighbor. There's some coming along that'll fill in a spot, but will they stand on the Word of God? Will they have a backbone, amen, to stand up against the Pharisees and the Herodians that come against us? And they're out there, amen, to tear down the Word of God. They're out there to slip sin into the church. And the Bible told us, Jesus said, I know where Satan's seat is. So Satan can come in and sit down right in the house of God, amen, and to tear us down. And I thought, without one soul here Sunday, nobody I could see, or no eyeballs I could look at, or expression on their face, and time and time again, as I was trying to preach, I felt the Holy Spirit of the old spirit of the devil trying to choke me down and take away the Holy Spirit of God. They don't want us preaching in the Holy Spirit of God. They don't care if you read a little sermonette and tell them that they're all right. Just go ahead and pass the offering plate and give you tithes. And as long as you come once in a while, you'll be all right. Honey, but glory to God, it's a sin if you know to do good and don't do it. I don't care how you're raised. If we've read the Word of God as He tells us to do, bless God, I'm bought with a price. I can't do what I want to do. I can't lay where I want to lay. I I can't be what I would like to be sometimes. And I know we get sick. I understand that. But honey, who am I serving today? I'm not serving Bill and I'm not serving Miss Janet. I'm serving a God Almighty that's got me in His hand. Honey, and He wants me to act like a Christian. He wants me every once in a while to get up on the hilltop that the light might shine. I thought about sis as we was going over there a couple of Sunday nights ago, and Audrey said, "I'll come by and drive for you." She's afraid Papa will wreck over in Gaylax. She said, "I'll drive for you." So when we got in the straightaway heading out 89, way before the skating rink, I said, "Audrey, I believe if we look close right in yonder, you can see the light of Camp Zion Church. It's set up on a hill." Amen. You've noticed it time and time again. I've noticed it for years. Amen. It's set up on a hill and the light can't be hidden. I'd say we're probably 2 or 3 miles, but I knew where that light was. And I knew what that light was because I'd been to that place. Amen. So when you come down, maybe over out there at the old motorcycle shop, you can see it if you look across and even before that. But you've got to look for it, glory to God. A light set up on a hill can't be hid. Amen. I'm glad in total darkness I can, well, glory to God. Boys and girls, I could get excited in just a minute. A little nobody, amen, it was laying in the floor drunk, and the Lord Jesus Christ come by, amen, and picked me up around that old commode that night and saved my soul. I thought about it as I went through there today. The house is gone. The boys burnt the house and everything's gone, but there's still a memory, glory to God, how that Jesus passed by on that little lot and that little red house and saved my soul, picked me up 52 years ago, amen, and it's still real, made something out of a drunk, out of a nobody that would have never amounted to anything. Why can't I be a light sitting on a hill, glory to God, and tell them about the goodness of God, amen? I need to preach. If I'm going to get on, I'm going to have to read it. I'm going to have to read it. Amen. And he said, I ain't read but 2 verses. 15th verse. Shall we give or shall we not give? But he knoweth their hypocrisy. Can I tell you something today? Jesus knows the hypocrites. And can I tell you something? The people of God knows those that are making excuses. Knows those that we find them just almost every day, that as I talk to different people, and it's getting fewer and fewer, but we talk to people and they're not sure who their pastor is, or they're not, they forgot the name of the church. But I've been going over yonder some, amen, but really when you boil right down to it, amen, they're hypocrites. Amen, when it boils right down to it, just keep asking them questions, you find out, well, they ain't been in a while. But I used to. It ain't been but just a short time ago. I was talking to a nurse, and she told me, and I said, "Yeah, I know your grandma." I said, I go to church up there. I just happen to know the pastor there, know grandpa, and know some of the deacons. As a matter of fact, I'd preach there. Amen. So we just kept talking. Well, I ain't been lately. Amen. Amen. So Jesus knows. He's going to come back one of these days, and there's going to be, we're going to stand before Him, and He's going to question us. I was reading it today. I don't even remember which chapter it was in, but He said the goats would be on the left side, and the sheep would be on the right side. There's coming a separation, honey. Our hypocritical testimony, amen, ain't going to stand under the authority of God's blazing eyes, amen. And that white hair, glory to God, that it speaks about in Revelation, we're not going to be able to stand when the power of God looks us dead in the eye and we've been a hypocrite and we've told lies and said I do this and we didn't do that and this is the reason I didn't do that. And Lord, seemed like You ought to know. I thought about every drunk or a drug head that I've ever talked to, honey, until they got saved, blamed it on somebody else. You know, I remember a fellow I used to drink a lot with, but he'd always want to cause trouble with his wife so he'd have an excuse to go out and drink. Always to blame it on somebody else. Can I tell you, if we're still in sin today, and church, I ain't just preaching to you few that's here today. Honey, there's several out there on the radio station that listen, amen, in our community, and there's several across the states that's getting the message, glory to God. I'm going to tell you, we are blessed in this country, in the Midwest. They don't have churches on every corner. We can't run to every church we'd like to. They're far, far and in between. There ain't many places where you can feel the Holy Ghost power of God. There ain't many places you can go in and testify the goodness of God. There ain't many places you can get up and walk down the aisle and come to the altar and pray and go back to your seat with a satisfied soul. Honey, let's don't forget what the free spirit of God at Mount Vernon Church is. We need to give God praise, honor, and glory. He said, but he knowing their hypocrisy said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. Jesus said this to them, said, why tempt ye me? He said, bring me a penny. And they brought it, and he said unto them, who is this image and subscription? And they said unto him, Caesar. Amen. Didn't he give them simple answers? They didn't have to have a scholar's degree to understand when they looked at that penny. It was Caesar's. It was Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said unto him, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. These were the hypocrites. These were the Pharisees. This was the Herodians, of those that had been against Jesus trying to find. But they marveled, glory to God, what simple answers he had. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be a scholar, amen, when they are hypocrites, when they're telling you lies, when they're trying to say I am and they're not. Amen. Their speech, their voice, their language will tell us, amen, and we can give them a simple answer. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be about your Father's business. We need to be praying, amen. You know, I had a good prayer today. Today just come out, it's a pretty sunshiny evening. I walked down to the altar and just got in touch with God, amen. That's so sweet. I can't do that every time. Sometimes there's a cloud hanging over me. Sometimes there's a burden hanging over me. Sometimes there's something I just can't get through to God. But I broke through the old cloud, the darkness and the troubles of this world and got in touch with God. Amen. I'm going to give him praise for mentioning a meeting with me one more time. I praise him for what he's done for me. Let's go to 18. I need to read all of this, church. And they came unto him, the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, and if a man's brother die and have his wife behind him, leave his wife behind him and have no children, the brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife, and dying left her no seed. 21st verse. And the second took her, and neither left he any seed. The 22nd verse. And the seven had her and had no seed. Lest of all the women died also. And at the very last. In the 23rd verse. And in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise. See, they didn't believe in the resurrection to start with. The Bible just said that up there. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. But now they said, in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be? See, they were playing in on Jesus. Didn't even believe in the resurrection. But they said, in the resurrection, whose wife she going to be? Because she's had all seven brothers. She's had all seven brothers. So the devil's sharp. Can I tell you, the people that are following Satan are sharp. They're not dummies. Can I tell you, we need to be a light set on a hill, glory to God. A city that can't be hid. We don't need to be shut up. We don't need to be knocked down. We don't need to be closed down. Amen. Glory to God. We need to be wide open for the glory of God. I'm not talking about arrogant. I'm talking about an humble spirit. But we need an answer for these Pharisees that are still in our land today. We need an answer for these Sadducees that still don't believe there's a resurrection today. We need an answer for these that ain't never been born again and think some club, Masonic club, is going to get them to heaven. Can I tell you something? It ain't going to do it. It ain't going to do it. We're going to have to come out from under the law and get under the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's going to take Jesus for me to get to heaven. If I whip the devil, it's going to be Jesus. If I win the victory tomorrow, if I get a prayer through tomorrow, it's going to be Jesus. If my son spared and your son spared and your daughter spared, it's going to be Jesus. Amen. If you get a blessing from God, it's going to be Jesus. We're going to have to put it in the hands of the Lord. And he said, in the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall it be of them? For the seven have had her. 24, and Jesus answered and said unto them, do you not therefore err? Can you just imagine how they felt? He said, do you not therefore err, because you know not the scripture, neither the power of God? Did he not tell them? He told them plain. He said, you don't know the scripture and you don't know the power of God. He said, you're in error. That's just as plain. He said, do you not err, because you don't know the scripture? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read by the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. You do greatly err. I believe from the depths of my heart, he wasn't only telling these Sadducees that they didn't know the scripture. He wasn't only telling them that these seven brothers wouldn't know this one wife, wouldn't be married to this one wife. I believe he was telling them that they were dead. That they were dead. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. I believe he was telling these Sadducees that you're dead. You're just looking to find fault in the Savior of the world. You're looking to find the loophole. I can remember well a man that come through our community, and he's always trying to figure out something that there wasn't no answer to. My Lord and my God, I don't know where God come from. And I don't know where Noah's children found wives. But God does. And it don't matter to me. I do know I'm a seed of Abraham. And I know that he plainly said there that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not a God of the dead, but of the living. And he said, one of his scribes came and having heard them, reasoned together and perceived. This was a secretary or the writer, maybe the bookkeeper in the 28th verse. And he said, one of the scribes came and to him, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him. See, this old scribe decided, Jesus has answered well. He's told these people that he's not a God of the dead. He's told these people that these seven brothers ain't going to be married to one wife. And Jesus answered him in the 29th verse, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So what did he say? And we may have to preach some on this next Sunday, I don't know. But he said, but to hear. He said, the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And I believe today we're missing the mark that one Lord, our God, there is only one. There's many little gods, many little counterfeit gods, and many that's tried to be gods. And eventually, and it ain't going to be long, there's one going to set up in the temple, the abomination of desolation, spoken by the prophet Daniel, and said, when we see this thing set up and the Antichrist sets up in the temple and says that I'm as God. He begins to act as God. And I've got all the answers. I've got all the healing. I'll feed all the people. I'll take care of everything around. And that's just around the corner, neighbor. Can I tell you something? When people are hungry, are they going to look to their belly instead of God if they don't have a full dose of the Holy Ghost power of God? They're going to look to protect their children. They're going to look just exactly like it is in Corona today. If we don't have a full load of God, we're running from the Holy Spirit of God. We're running from the truth. We're running, amen. We're scared of death. I believe if we'll get right with God, there won't be no fear of death. I remember a little girl, and she's still in church, but she growed up here and come to this church and got married in this church. And I remember her saying, Revelation scares me. Revelation scares me. There shouldn't be any fear of Revelation if we're children of God. That we don't understand, God will take care of. Amen. We just need to be, what we need to fear is God. We need to hear. That's what the Bible said. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. There's not a house full, there's only one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And we worried about the drunkard. We worried about the harlot. We worried about, amen, the adulterer or the fornicator. We worried about all of this. And the Bible said all we've got to do is love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. This is the first commandment. Amen. So if we'll keep this, all of these others will fall in place. And it gives it maybe a little different in Matthew and Luke. But glory to God, it all boils down to the same thing. And he said, and the second is like, said, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. There's nothing greater than these commandments that we love one another. And have you ever seen a time, I mentioned it maybe, I was talking to somebody there just a minute ago, but I thought about how we used to love to go to the cafe and sit down and drink a cup of coffee and chat, and a lot of the old people would go to the old stores there and sit around the wood fire at night after they got off from work, and they did it in Low Gap. They still do it down at Oak Grove, and they enjoyed it. But I thought about, it ain't like it used to be. People ain't like they used to be. They're not friendly like they used to be. Love ain't like it used to be. And I thought, I shook hands with a sinner today, and he handed me his left hand. I'm going to grab either hand I can get a hold of. Amen. But he handed it out to me, and I thought, it ain't like it used to be. We've been friends for probably 40 years, but it ain't like it used to be. Can I tell you what happened, what sin has done to our churches, what sin has done to our school? There's not a school kid can tell you anywhere they're getting out of school what they one time got out of school. There's a strain, there's a dread, and that song that we sung, there's confusion. You know, we don't understand. There's doubt in our mind. And we wonder, well, will I catch corona from Sonny? If I catch corona, will I be that when it dies, or will I live? Or do I need to wear a mask all the time and be scared to death? Or do I just need to quit? Do I just need to quit and crawl back in a hole and be a groundhog? See, all this doubt Satan has put in our mind. Can I tell you what it's done? It's took the place of the power of God. Amen. It's filled in where we used to shout and know that we are saved. We begin to wonder, the God that saved us, can he take care of us now? I know I'm not popular, but I'm not looking for popularity. I wasn't popular when I was in sin. So that ain't going to worry me. I ain't never been, so ain't no use to worry about it now. But can I know? One thing I know, and I talked to the Lord about it down at the altar today. I said, God, and I laid there in bed about 3 o'clock this morning. God, there's one thing I want to do. I want to be truthful. I don't want to back down. I don't want to pet sin. I don't want to say sin is all right. I don't want to back down on the Word of God. And sometimes I question, Lord, why can't I preach more hallelujah message? But it's just plain to me the world is not ready for hallelujah messages. We need to get right with God. We need to get right with God. We need to stand where God would have us to stand. And I know my wife, Sunday she told me, I said, well, wasn't that a good message? And she said, it's hard. It was hard. When she don't talk about it, I know it ain't a fitting in. And the second, the 31st verse, and the second is like, namely, this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the old scribe was pretty sharp. The old scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there's none other but he. Can I tell you, that old scribe was getting close, wasn't he? When I decided I wasn't going to be able to bypass hell without Jesus, I was getting close. Day by day, as conviction fell on my heart, and alcohol wasn't satisfying, and I couldn't numb my mind with alcohol and the convicting power of God, I was getting a little closer to God. And I was realizing that old Sunday school teacher that did tell me about Jesus, he was telling me the truth. That old Sunday school, that teacher that didn't tell me a lie, I knowed it was the truth. And I can remember well some preachers that didn't do much for me. But I can remember some that told me the truth and loved me. Oh, glory to God, I'll never forget them that loved me. As I was a little boy, and I didn't have Dad much there to do anything for me. But I remember some of them fellas that loved me. I remember the old man there in Logip, because Dad could never take us fishing. But once in a while in the summer, he'd take me down the creek fishing. He played hard on me and give me a hard time sometimes. But I've turned old Bellis, or what do you call it, Bellis? I've turned old Bellis in his blacksmith shop for him when I was a little bitty boy. You know, and he'd work on my old bicycle. I won't never forget them things. But I'm going to tell you something else. I still remember them that promised me something and didn't do it. I remember them that said they was and wasn't. I remember them that was deacons in the church and still drank alcohol. I remember when I become a teenager that I drank with them. Amen. I remember buying it and selling it back to them. I remember all this. So there's counterfeits in the church. There's hypocrites in the church. They're sitting in legal offices. But bless God, I can't pattern my life after that. And everybody in church ain't a hypocrite. Everybody in church ain't out for money. There's a few, glory to God, that's just like Jesus, Christ-like, that's true born-again Christian. Amen. That's not a respecter of person. And will help that one on the side of the road the same as they will that one in the White House. I'm glad, glory to God, that God can put something in an old sinner's heart that will last. I'm glad, glory to God, he can raise you up when you can't walk by yourself. I'm glad he can put some love in there and you begin to see that you can love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and all of my mind. And I can begin to see when the Bible said, glory to God, to love your neighbor as ourselves. I can see that sometimes that's hard. I understand that. But I can see where you can forgive your neighbor, come back to your altar. You know what's wrong with the church today? We need to fall back in love with one another. We can read it in Revelations, amen, the Laodicean church where we've left our first love. If we'll come back to our first love and these commandments, that all the other commandments are wrapped around this commandment of love. When we come back together and start trusting one another and loving one another and helping each other out of a hole, glory to God, and praying for these with corona and praying with these that fear and praying these that have left empty seats and that have left the house of God on down through the years, and some of them are not in the house of God today. I'm going to tell you something, honey. When it comes down to the dying hour, I want a church to say, oh, Bill tried. I want a church to be there and say, he tried to love us and he forgave us when we messed up, and we had to forgive him because he forgave us and God forgave us, and we become as one. Glory be unto God. And one day we can all be together in heaven. If this ain't worth fighting for, amen, I'll throw in the towel and quit now. now. I've got eternal life, not in this mess that we're living in today, but through the eyes of faith, I see a better place, a house not built with hands, eternal in the heavens. I see a Jesus sitting on the right hand of, well, glory to God, on the right hand of the Father. I'm making intercession for my ignorance. I'm glad, glory to God, that I'm getting nigher to heaven than I've ever been before. This old scribe said, I believe this is the truth, Jesus. You've answered these Pharisees right. You've told them exactly what they need to do. You told them, go ahead and give Caesar what's Caesar's and give God what's God's. Can I tell you today, we're taking care of Caesar, but we're letting the house of God go. Amen. Bill, preach it. Amen. Glory to God. I'm just about done. 32, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. Look at 33 and 34, and I promise you I'll quit. And he said, and to love him with all of the heart. This old scribe said that. Can I tell you, that scribe was watching Jesus. He was sharp, and he's sitting there watching how he's going to answer the Pharisees. Jesus didn't cut them no slack, but he didn't down them. He just told them the truth. He said, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul. I'll have to say, oh me. I'll have to. And with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So what did Jesus say? To present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. This is our reasonable service. To love our neighbor is more, it's more than any of the burnt offerings that were done under the law. And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. He answered honestly. I believe he answered from the heart. And when Jesus sees that we're answering from the heart, I believe he'll answer us. I believe he'll hear us. When he sees that we are in desperate need, and I've really thought about it. As a little boy, I prayed some foolish prayers. I'll be the first to tell you. I prayed for Bill. I wanted Bill to get his way, and his toothache quit and his earache go away. Things would be better at my house. Mom and Daddy get along, that I wouldn't have no quarreling. Things would just be different. All about me. But when I growed up a little bit, I found out that it wasn't all about me. It was about Jesus. It was about Jesus. That's when I realized he had told me the truth, and I was going the wrong way. And he said, and when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. When I answered discreetly, and I don't know the words, I just remember hanging around that old commode. I'd lost everything I had. I was in terrible shape. I didn't know no other way to go. So I was as discreet as I could be. And I was full of alcohol. Coming down off a 3-day drunk. Stunk, rotten to the core. But discreetly I listened to the voice of God. And he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Oh, glory to God. That's our message. We're not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that doth ask him any questions. They shut up. Said, we're not far from the kingdom of God. And I thought about, I had prayed prayers and I was getting closer. I was getting closer to the kingdom of God. And I thought about in our church and all the churches I know of, we pray prayers when we're in need, when sickness hits, when our finances are in trouble, we've lost our job, can't pay our light bill, or we got people in a hospice home, we get right in there with God. But can I tell you, God knows the future. He knows when things straighten out or we're going to walk right. I've thought about it many times. I've prayed for people I've seen get healed, and I've prayed for some that I didn't see get healed. I shouldn't be discouraged. God knows. I want to go to heaven, sick or well. It don't matter. Being healed ain't the greatest thing in my life. Serving God. Loving my neighbor as myself. I don't know what about y'all. I have trouble loving everybody. They make me mad. Sometimes I'd like to put a ring in Janet's nose. That's just how we are, if we'll be honest. But we got to pray through, neighbor. We got to pray through. I remember an old boy at work. He's still the hardest fellow to deal with or to trust I've ever seen in my life. But he gave us some hard times. He caused us lots of trouble. But when he got in need, he come to Bill and said, Bill, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. Some things was happening big in his life. I don't want to wait. I want to serve God in the good times. Yeah. I want to serve him when things are going right. Love you, church. That old scribe was getting nigh to the kingdom of heaven.